Are you there yet? In Ephesians 6, 5, at 10, we will read that in a minute after we pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good you are to us. We appreciate your mercy and we appreciate your love. Where would we be without the Lord, as the song goes? And as Jack prayed, if there's one here or watching by webcam who doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, may this be the day that the Holy Spirit of God will take what we say and apply it to hearts and minds, who people who know that they need a Savior. They just have never repented of their sins and never been convicted to do so. And may they do so today, not because of anything I do or what we do, but of course what you did on Calvary. Be with me as I preach. Please guide my reins in the night season and the day season, that I may preach the gospel and the word of God as it is, and that we by all means may add to people's faith and to give faith to people that don't have any. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we find that Paul, who wrote the Ephesians, is talking about the warfare of Christians. What do you fight with? Most people today don't understand. They think they've turned church into a social thing. It's a social meeting where you go and smile and be nice, and they massage your ears and grin, and everybody goes home. Now, watch Joel Osteen. Wonderful messages. God's good, I'm good, you're good, let's go home and be good. Now you don't have to watch, because that's all we're going to hear. How sad it is that people take this book and put it aside like that's not what you're supposed to preach. Notice on your TV, if you watch preachers, if one sets the Bible down and didn't go in from it, just go ahead and change channels. Watch the ball game. You get more out of it. Okay? So Paul says it's Christian warfare because we're in a war. People don't realize that we are in a war, as you will be reading in just a minute, against unseen principalities and powers. And this war is continuous. It's a war between God and Satan, who it is. And things are happening to you and in your life and being put in front of you as you don't even recognize. And you have to be alert. And Paul is trying to tell the people that he is preaching to, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That means to be continuously strong in the Lord. You need to learn your Bible. You need to learn what's going on in the world. Well, how do I do that? Find your preacher, preach for the gospel, preaches the Bible. Go to Bible study where somebody like Jack is teaching and expounds the scriptures and lets you know what God has to say. This book contains personal letters to you. If you got 27 letters from God, would you open them and read them? If the mailman brought them, if they appeared on your whatever it is, what is that, Ann, that you call it, where you get those messages, email, would you read them? Of course you would. Well, you've had them for a couple of thousand years and hadn't read them. What's the matter with you? If you want to know what God thinks, read the book. He wrote you a letter. He tells you. This is a personal book, dealt by a Christian. It's not a mass thing. Years ago, when Christianity was first underway, there weren't many Bibles until the Gutenberg Bible, which was many, many years to come. And there were so few printed, they really chained the Bible to the pulpit in the churches. Because if you left them laying around, somebody would steal them. And I know a missionary, he said, I got to be very careful when I preach the Bible that I don't set it down somewhere. Because during the service, some guy will run and grab it, and he's out the door. He doesn't have a Bible, wants one, thinks it's okay to steal one. So he's just going to have one. And this is, to want one that bad makes you ashamed if you don't read one, doesn't it? And we'll excuse you this morning, but when my daddy preached all over Canada and all over America, if he showed up, of course, the Bible was in him and he had one with him. And everybody who came to the meeting had one with him. For years, I didn't know you could go to church without one. I thought that was kind of a ticket. You had to take your Bible. And we won't embarrass you this morning to say, some preachers do, if you brought the Bible, hold it up. And they got out of that real quick because all four of them could be counted real quick. Right? Not the way it should be. Paul said, you be strong in the Lord. How are you going to be strong in the Lord if you don't know what He wants? If you don't have instructions, how are you going to follow Him? Okay. And we'll follow instructions for anything else except driving speed limits. And we do that because they tell us what we ought to do. This is what the Bible does. In the power of His might, the game of anti-Christianity, which is in full force now, is to make Christ just a human being. Because secular humanism is what it's called. And they're doing their best to wipe out Christianity. Please understand, all this foolishness about women coming in men's bathrooms and men coming in women's bathrooms and all that, please understand, that only involves people who are so confused, men think they're women and women think they're men. And only less than 1% of the people in America are, what is it, transverse, converse, what are they? Whatever they are, less than 1% of the people. Now they're going to change millions of dollars adding to and taking away bathrooms and changing things around in schools to please that less than 1% people. And people say, well, isn't that crazy? Yes. Please understand what they're doing. They are trying to wipe out any reference to morality in the United States of America. It is one more step towards getting rid of God in this country. And they don't read their Bibles or they don't believe them. Read the Bible and find out what happens to countries who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, who reject God. Find out what happens to them. They will be put under judgment. Most of them, you don't even know their names if I called some of them. Others, you wouldn't care if you did know it. At the Hittites, everybody's been worried about them, hadn't they, for years? Yeah, they're gone. The Edomites. All the ites are gone. Where did they go? The Canaanites. Where are they? What happened to those people? What happened to Egypt? Do you know how powerful and beautiful Egypt used to be? What happened to Rome? What happened to people we know? Watch what happens to New York City and San Francisco and Myrtle Beach and Ocean Drive. Watch what happens if you keep going the way we're going and trying to discount God. Because you will fall under His judgment at His time and His choosing. And you cannot hide from somebody who made everything and knows where everything is. Adam tried that. You remember the story in Genesis, don't you? Adam has sinned, so he's trying to hide behind a bush from God. God comes down to walk with him, the Bible says. Adam, where are you? He knew where he was. He always knew where he was, just like he knew where you were last night. Where are you? Adam, boy, come here. I see you behind the bush. Why'd you cover yourself up with leaves? Where's your wife I gave you? Well, come on, honey. He won't see you too. And she's covered with leaves. What made them think you needed to wear something? He said, you mean people were just running around naked? No, it used to be that men were made and women were made with the light of God protruding from them. And they were covered in His glory. And that wasn't good enough. They had to change that. Just like many preachers today. This isn't good enough. Their theory has to. But what if? Yeah, I call them the well you sees. You read a lot about the Pharisees. And you read a lot about the Sadducees. But the worst group is the well you sees. You tell them about the creation, and they say, well, you see, my college professor said, I don't care what your college professor said, the Bible, the Word of God said, God created in an instant. Well, it must have taken billions of years to make you. You don't complain about what God does, but if you are the end result of evolution, he messed up somewhere along the road. Gee, my ninny, I love it when I get up and in the morning, well, kind of morning, and hair's going this way, you know, and I'm looking for my glasses so I can see, and I'm hobbling in there because I'm about 80. And you know, at night, your eyes run, your nose runs, everything will run but your feet. And you're standing there looking in the mirror, and you need a shave, and your breath's bad, and your teeth are over here, and your glasses are over here. And there you are, standing looking in the mirror, and I'm saying, well, there he is, made in the image of God. I don't think that's what it meant, you. Don't think so. So we find out that we're to be strong in the Lord, and that means continuously, everywhere. St. Francis of Assisi said, wherever you go, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. He meant just be a Christian wherever you are. Let your light shine wherever you are. Little Mimi. Mimi didn't make it to church this morning, so you're watching the TV, I guarantee that. Mimi's getting on close to 90, and I love her with all my heart. Bless her heart. And Mimi asked me last night, said, Beaver, I can't do much. What am I supposed to do? And I said, pray. She said, well, that's about all I can do. I said, don't ever say that. It's the most powerful thing on earth. You pray, honey. You pray for the church. You pray for me. You pray for friends that we both know that are headed for hell like a train out the depot. And you pray. Prayer's powerful. Prayer is the most powerful force in the world and out of it. And we're not talking about lay me down to sleep. I mean, I'm talking about you and God get on a personal level and talk to him. That's why the atheists, those poor idiots, I'm sorry, honey, you told me not to call people that. Those poor fools, they want to tell you, God is dead. And I said, where did you learn his name if he's dead? Why do you keep talking about it? The definition of insanity, don't ever forget it, is somebody who spends their life fighting something they don't believe exists. Think about that. You have really got to be a nut to do that, don't you? I'm telling you the truth. If God doesn't exist, then you don't. Of course, there's a church down the street that preaches that. They don't believe they're here, right? They preach it's all just in your mind. Well, if your mind didn't hear, how can it be in there? And I checked them out one day and watched them come out of church, and I'd be doggone if every one of them still didn't look both ways before they crossed the street. They must believe all those are here, because they'd all be dead if they weren't. How does man get in that position? How do you really get in the position that you can look at that ocean and you can look at the stars at night and they average 32 trillion miles apart? They're not going to run into each other. I laughed in college. Me and a young lady had gone to the drive-in to see the movie. We weren't like you. Okay. Went to see the movie. And we're sitting there, and they said that the Sputnik, or one of the Nicks, one of the things they'd set up, you could see it at 8:30 if you looked in a certain direction. And sure enough, we looked in a certain direction at that time, and you could see that little light going across the sky. And there was a good little brother in a pickup truck next to us, and he was with his or somebody's wife, and they were looking at it in total amazement. And he said, finally, I believe it's going to run into that star. And I am dying laughing. It's 32 trillion miles away from that star. He worried about running into it. See? We are among the smartest nations on earth, which makes us not the dumbest people on earth. At least there are some that are more stupid than we are. But if you talk to people about this Bible, you'll find out there are many. They aren't many. Did you know that only 19% of Americans have a Christian worldview? Down to 19%. Of those 19%, only 9% really have a Christian worldview. We're losing this battle. I pray the Lord comes quick. If we don't, it'll be totally out of America. They're doing their best to wipe out Christianity in this country every way they can. So Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. If you're in a warfare, if you're in a war, then get your armor on. You're not going to battle with nothing, are you? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we read things rather quickly, and we don't think about them a whole lot, and that's a strange word anyway. We don't say wiles of the devil anymore, do we? Well, not in our country. We don't believe in the devil. Well, what are the wiles? That's the schemes. That's the tricks. That's the things the devil uses against you. First of all, they've tried to get rid of the devil. You don't hear preachers preach about the devil anymore. You can go to church forever, never heard the word Satan. You won't hear the place called hell mentioned. Why? Well, they've made a comedy out of it. Watch what your kids are watching on the cartoons. The devil's in a red suit with a pitchfork. Sorry. He's a powerful angel. He was in charge of an archangel. He was so powerful, he felt that he really could overthrow God. This is not a dummy. This is somebody, if you fight on your own, will grind you to powder. He has forgotten more than you'll ever know. So we treat him as a cartoon character, and it's not so bad anymore, is it? Well, we don't want to scare anybody. Pardon you? You don't want to scare anybody? I do. If you're not scared of hell, there's something wrong with your thinking. If you're not scared, as we told those people over there that really hated to hear it, eternity without God is a long, long journey, my friend. You better have fear of the Lord. Now, that means generally when it's said in the Bible that you are to have awe of the Lord, that you are have wonder of the Lord, of who He is and what He can do. But it also means true fear. If you don't fear somebody that you know that you are going to be held in judgment by, and you know who you are and what you've done, and you're going to answer to him about it, you better have some fear. You might not now, but one day you will. You stand before the King of Kings and the Judge of Judges, and he who holds your eternity in his hands, you'll shake, my friend. You'll even get a little nervous at traffic court down here. Right? You get in front of the judge and he's got you. We had three smart individuals of our community decided to hold up a bank last week. Right? So they run in the bank out here and pull out a gun and they fire it in the bank. And then they got a bag full of money that was going to blow up in 3 minutes. You know, that's what they give you now, and it did. And they're back in the car, and of course they get caught, and they're in court. And one judge said, I hope you know what you have done. You've gone in, this is a federal court. You have fired a gun inside a bank. That's attempted murder. You've held up a bank. That's a federal crime. You've shot at a policeman. That's a felony. You fellas are looking at 20 to life. And one of them said, well, last time I was in the court, it wasn't as serious. They just talked to me and you know, kind of let us go. He said, son, you in federal court this morning. This isn't traffic court. This isn't somebody worrying about a $100 ticket. You getting ready to go to prison from 20 to life if you're found guilty. And if I already got films of you doing what you did, I mean, how you going to not be found guilty? I'd get me a real good lawyer if I was you. The ignorance of thinking you can go in a bank and hold it up today. How much money can one bank hold to last you a lifetime? Nobody does the math, do they? let's hold him up. Well, how much did you get, Leroy? We got $400. Well, that ought to carry you for 20 years. See? So you're going to go to jail over 20. Ann got me exercising again. She said, have you noticed you're gaining a little weight? Actually, I'm losing weight. She ain't been looking. And she said, you're going to have to get off that couch and start exercising. I said, okay, I'll take up golf again. So I'm out there hitting the golf balls when I can, and it is good exercise. And I'll have you know that now I'm back where I can hit the golf ball straight down the middle. I mean, straight as you can point. I got a CD off the machine she owns, and it taught me how to do that. A wonderful teacher. And I can hit the ball straight down the middle. 250, 300 feet. Not yards. Feet. But at least it's straight. And the exercise is good. And she was right. If you don't want to feel like you stove up and all but put in a basket, walk, hit a golf ball, do something, take care of yourself, enjoy yourself. I laughed. I just turned, 79? In China, I just turned 80. Chinese count from the time you're conceived as 1 year. They're right. They're right. That's 1 year, see? So when you're born, you're 1 year old. And so according to them, I'm 80, but fortunately, I don't see many Chinese, so I'm just 79, see? But I don't look 79, and I don't feel 79, and I can do things that people 78 can't do, all right? And just have a good time enjoying life. Why? I know where I am, who I am, who I know, who has saved me, and where I'm going for eternity. I don't have to be sad. I don't have to be stove up. I don't have to go with the crowd. Earl Nightingale, you know the name? Some of you older people. Earl Nightingale was like a radio announcer worldwide, and we did some business together and we're friends. And he said, you know, Beaver, if the masses, the crowd, if the masses have done anything consistently, it's that they've been consistently wrong. And yet we'll jump right in line for anything that comes along. I was talking to a fellow last night. He was inside a building, had his hat on. Now, if you do, don't be upset. But I told him, I said, why you got your hat on? You inside. I said, you know, of all the generational things you can point out that changes generation to generation, that's one big one to me. I'll go up here to Ella's and eat and enjoy myself, and I'll look around, and I'll see people at the dinner table with a hat on. And that, to me, is a no-no. You don't do that. That's bad manners. That's disrespectful. And I was telling somebody, I said, that's the change. And I said, if I'd have done that and wore a hat at dinner, it would have come off. It wouldn't have been lifted gently. It would come off with a backhand from my daddy. What do you mean, sitting down at this table with a hat on? And it's the little things like that. No respect anymore. No, I can't tell you the last time I've seen a man open a car door for a woman. I can't even remember the last time I saw that. I can't remember the last time one ran around and opened a door for a woman to get out. See? What happened? It's all about me, right? We're a country of me. It's all about me. Everything that I do is to do with me. No, it isn't. What you do affects everybody that sees you. That's why Paul said, look, be a Christian. And that's why Francis of Assisi says, wherever you go, let your light shine, wherever it is. They may never let me in Harold's again, because I told them everything they didn't want to hear last night. Well, why would you do that? Because I'm a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you invite me to a function, I'm going to preach. That's what I do. You've seen the Geico ads with the chicken that walks. If you're a chicken that walks, you walk. That's what you do. And I'm a preacher. You invite me to a function, I'm not leaving till I tell you about Jesus. Why? That's what I do. You knew that before I came. What did you think I was going to do, a juggling act? No. Don't invite me if you don't want to hear about Jesus. What if every Christian did that? Boy, wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it turn the tide? See? And your folks and here did a good job last year and the year before. Do you know it was people like you who got Walmart saying Merry Christmas again? I mean, they weren't saying it, weren't they? Happy holidays. I say, which holiday are you talking about? Christmas, Easter, Kiwanis, or whatever that one is, Passover. What holiday do you speak of, ma'am? Well, we're not allowed to say Merry Christmas. Then why are you trying to sell me a Christmas tree? And the lights and the ribbons. And yet you deny what it represents. You people are crazy. I don't get out much. There's stores that have my picture. Do not let this man in. Why? I'm non-tolerant of false doctrine, and I was politically incorrect before they found a name for it. That was just my life. That's the way I live. And you do too, and we're right. We're right. I told 400 of them last night, you might want to come over to that church in the morning. I just might be right. And two or three Christians were over there and said, amen. See? But about 400 didn't have anything to say, started looking at their shoe like they'd stepped in something. Right? Yeah. So we got to do what Paul said. We got to go to war. We got to go to war. It's not a picnic anymore. We have the picnic down at the park. Don puts the picnic on, Marie, and we have a good time. And I'm sure the other churches in town didn't like a picture of me dancing at the picnic. It was my picnic. Well, I didn't know preachers danced. I said, I didn't know people like you smoked dope. Yeah. I'm really nice, ask my wife. Oh, no, I'm not, son. I'm not. Let me show what the problem is. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. They've tried to do away with spirits too, have they not? They don't want you to know that there are unseen spirits in the world guiding us down hell's path. They want to tell it's Casper the Ghost now. Cute little ghost bouncing around. Yeah, you've seen it, hadn't you? See, you get in a room with a real spirit one time, and he'll put chills on the back of your neck, and you will know if you're a Christian, it's time to call on the Lord. I had my wife passed away with cancer, and she went to be with the Lord. She was Ann's best friend. That's why I asked the Lord at the rapture to take me last, let them go ahead and talk. And I'm sure there'll be a conversation there. You got some questions to ask. And my wife passed away, and she was in Winston-Salem. I lived in Greenville, and I went to get her. Of course, I was with her when she passed away up there. And so I was in my car driving back. I said, I'm going to go through Asheville, go through the mountains, and then down to Greenville. And I'm riding along just, you know, sad. I mean, my wife's just left, right? And I'm crying and just sad as I can be and trying to drive the car, keep it on the road. You know how to do. And here he comes in my window. Now, I'm not crazy, as some of you think I am. Okay. He came, sat down beside me, felt it. Hair on the back of my neck stood up. I got chill bumps. Couldn't see him, but I knew he was there. You've been in a room like that where somebody was in there and you didn't know it, and your body told you that somebody's in there. You just knew somebody was in there. And that's what it feels like. So I said, well, here you are. I knew you were coming. Hope you're comfortable over there, because you've come to one that's not afraid of you. I'm a born again, blood washed, son of the living God. I know why you're here. You're to tell me God doesn't love me. You're to tell me if he loved me, he wouldn't have let your wife die. You're here to tell me you were trying to do real good, and now everything in your life's over. It just passed away. We've torn it up again. I know why you're here. I don't know if you're the devil himself or one of his angels, one of his spirits. I don't know. I just know where you came from. And I got a message for you. You came to give me one. I already know your message. But my Bible tells me that at the mention of the name of Jesus, that the demons will flee. Flee is different from running. Flee is getting out of there. So I hope you're comfortable, because get ready. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, you listening? Jesus, 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 Jesus. You ready to go yet? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. In about 5 minutes, he was gone. Shoot him. Gone. And you said, well, you just imagining that. No, I was there. You just thinking about it. Well, that's just some wild story in your brain, no, my brain, or in my spirit. For the Spirit of God, as I'm a Christian and you are, lives within me. And if I want to battle the devil, which was the second most powerful being, I better have some ammunition. And too many Christians have a gun with no bullets. That's why we say learn your scriptures. Learn what to do when hard times come. Keep your faith, Paul will tell you down here, because the devil is going to attack you with wiles, which are different means, and you know what they are, and I know what they are, but I don't know all of them. I know they'll attack you through your television set. Have you noticed gradually over the years TV has become the official pornographic outlet of the world? That people do things on television that if you wanted to see, you had to get a book sold under the counter somewhere, and now it's in front of the counter so your little children can see it as they try to buy a Coca-Cola. Have you noticed the language being used on television? I remember when, what is the most famous movie there's ever been out of Atlanta? What is it? Say, what is it? Gone with the Wind. Zach, thank you, honey. Gone with the Wind was on. That people were horrified when Clark Gable said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I just don't give a damn. I mean, they were horrified that somebody would say that in a moving picture where people could go and see it. Please turn in a TV set that doesn't have profanity on it if you can find one tonight. Not just regular little old cuss words. I'm talking about deep, dirty profanity that 10 years ago you would have passed out if somebody said that on television. Now it's common talk. So now they think they aren't cussing now if they give the initial of the word. We're an initial nation, right? Yeah. Well, you don't call anybody the N word. Like you don't know what N means. I hear them on TV. Well, the F word. As soon as you say it, everybody writes it across their brain. They know what you're talking about. See? And it's common language. Look at the language we're hearing from people who want to be president of the United States. I mean, for heaven's sake. Oh, and I laughed. I have a weird sense of humor. You already know that. They're getting on Brother Trump saying, well, he doesn't get along well with women. Have you seen his wife? Oh, I'm voting for her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put her in the White House. All right. Whoa. Yeah, surely you're not going to make me look at Hillary every night. Whoa. Whoa, that'd give you a heart attack, wouldn't it? Terrible. But the world's turned upside down, and these are the wiles of the devil. They get us through TV, through the magazines. I mean, we have a dilemma on our hands that just broke my heart. Playboy, the subscriptions are down. Well, I guess they are. You can get 500,000 porno shots on your cell phone. Why buy a magazine anymore and waste that money? How much it cost you? $5. You cost $5. And you don't have to buy that anymore. So poor old Hugh Hefner, who's what, 97 now, wants to sell the Playboy Mansion for, you know, $40 million or something. And he hadn't been in real estate long. The deal is you can buy it, but you have to let him live there till he dies. That's all I need is a Hugh Hefner in the hall. Right? I mean, think about it. We've gone completely nuts, have we not? See? And yet people pay big money to visit that place. If they got an in with a guy, hey, can you get me in the mansion? Yeah, I can get you in the mansion all right, but it ain't the one you're thinking about. See? They want to do that. They came on TV with it. There was a girl posing for the centerfold. Of course, she doesn't have anything on. And she's lying down on a bear rug or something, and the photographers have got the lights on her. And Hugh Hefner comes by. See? And she says, oh me, and covers herself up for Hugh Hefner. Honey, you're going in a magazine that's going around the world. Just stay like you are. See? Like we're going, now we're going to be humble. And back when Jack used to loan me his Playboys, I would look at them, and you would say, this is crazy. Here's a beautiful young woman, and you'd be pretty too if you were airbrushed. That ain't what she really looks like. And here she is in the middle of Playboy. And in the next page is her mother talking about how proud she is that she's naked in a book that's going around the world. I mean, I know, but it's wonderful photography. How do you know? You've been looking? We've gone crazy. There's a little poem, and Jack found out the real one for me, and he does his research. But my mama taught me when I was a little bitty boy, about 6 or 7 years old, and I'll try to remember it. Lord, please help me. And it said, I'll think of it in a minute. Oh, okay, thank you, Lord. It said, sin is such a monster. Sin is hated but to be seen. But seen too often, we get familiar with his face. First we abhor hate. Then we endure, put up with. Then we embrace. That's the wiles of the devil. You saw what happened in our life. You didn't sell magazines with naked people in them when I was a little boy. But then Playboy came. So we didn't want that shown, but now, you know, well, it's the modern time. We'll put up with it just like the devil wanted you to, wiles of the devil. See? We endured. Then finally we embraced it. It's okay. It's just what we do. This is postmodernism. This is the 20th century. And we have moved on. Have you noticed how people keep moving on and don't know where they're going? Well, we need to move on from what? To what? Move on, got to have a beginning and you got to have a destination. They don't have that. They floating around here knowing nothing and have known nothing since the country's been here. How did we get so stupid and yet we can go to the moon? How'd that happen? We have enough intelligence. Now they want to go to Mars. When they went to the moon, I said, I really hope it's green cheese. I'd heard all my life that the moon was made out of green cheese. You'd heard that, hadn't you? See? I was so hoping it was. See? Now they want to colonize the moon. I got some people I can volunteer to send on up, but why would you want to do that? Why would we want to spend billions of dollars to send four people to the moon to live there in a colony? Why would we do that? There isn't a reason to do that. But you and I get to pay for it through our taxes. Look at the next one that goes up. You paid for it. You paid for it. I laughed. My little mama, bless her heart, she went to be with the Lord when she was about 90-something. And sweet little lady. And she was visiting. I used to live down at Litchfield. And Halley's Comet was coming through. And they've changed the name of it now. It was Halley's Comet for 2,000 years. Now it's something else. You know, like it changed. Comes by every 75 years. And you can see the tail of it through the sky. It's really something to see. And my mama was visiting with us down there. And I told her, I said, Mama, would you like to walk down to the beach this evening? Halley's Comet is going to come over. And on the beach here, you can get a real, real good look at this thing. And I loved the answer. She said, no, I don't want to go down there. I saw it last time. I mean, you got to love somebody who said, I saw it last time, heck with it. It come by once every 75 years. Yeah, seen it once, you've seen it all. You know, see. And so we find out the wiles of the devil. Understand, you are fighting against one of the smartest beings God ever created. This angel, formerly, is so intelligent. He really thought he could overthrow God. And he saw him work every day. This is somebody who took one-third of the heavenly host, angels, away from God and taught them into following him and was so good at it, they really thought he could. And walked out of the presence of God and swapped the knowledge of God for the knowledge of Lucifer. You think this can't outsmart you? He'll have you so torn up and turned inside out and thinking wrong, you won't know which way to walk. Been there. Done that. So have you. Controlled by principalities and powers that you know not of. We don't even recognize they're there. We don't know who they are. We can't see them. And we get the people you witness to and talk scripture with. Well, I only believe what I can see. I said, when's the last time you saw the wind? There's obviously a wind. Were you here in 54? Miss Hazel came by. The water out here at the light was 18 feet deep. Right here. We came down afterwards and Jim Walter houses were floating by left and right because that's all it was at the beach. Nobody built mansions and hotels then. It was just secondary places to come into Sumter, come into summer. People from Sumter and Florence and within 100 miles, they'd build a little cottage down here, generally get them Jim Walter place and put it on the lot. Things have changed. This lot and over to the red post over there, where the other bathrooms are, was for sale for $10 a lot at one time. Yeah, I've seen the papers on it. $10. There was a preacher who used to come down here and preach on Tuesday nights years and years ago. And I said, bless his heart, whoever he was. Things have changed. And they said, well, things have changed for the better, have they? Have they really? Not spiritually, they hadn't. Churches are empty. They don't know what to do about the bills. Well, we build the biggest church in town. Okay, good, pay for it. So it becomes money, 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 money. We got to pay for the church. We got this, we got that, we got the other. See, I don't know if things have changed good or not. Did you know you can't build a church? Well, we have a church building committee. Well, fine, you can't build a church. You can build a building and the church can come to it, but you can't build a church because you are the church. The church can go somewhere, but you can't go to church. And the devil has turned us upside down with his schemes and his wiles, as the Bible says, until we don't know whether we are coming or going. When millions of people are willing to follow the theological advice of Oprah Winfrey, you got yourself a national problem. National problem, right? You're not allowed to mention the name of God in public schools, according to the United States Supreme Court. But you can have homosexuals come in and show children how to have their lifestyle. I laughed. I said, two rather fancy gentlemen approached me. Are you the preacher? I said, yes. Will you marry us? I said, no. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even date either one of you. One of them says, well, I never. I said, well, you should have. Then you wouldn't want to marry him. Mm-hmm. And they pouring that lifestyle upon you and I and teaching it to our children as if it's normal. Not at all. Not at all. Well, you aren't very tolerant. I'm not tolerant of sin at all. And nobody else should be. Sin has got us in the problems we're in. So let's take the advice of Brother Paul here. Put our armor on. Be prepared against spirits, against principalities and powers and higher places that we don't understand. And he tells you, you can read it when you get home in the other verses, what to put on, and it relates to a Roman soldier's helmet and breastplate and shield to the fiery darts of the devil and all that. You'll read it, you'll understand it very well. But that's what we need to do because, my friend, we are in a war. And they're trying to do away with Christianity and Christian values in the name of a country that was founded with the purpose of spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why this country was founded a few hundred miles up the beach. The first thing they did was plant a cross in the beach and hold a prayer service. And God put us right where you couldn't get to us. Look at a world map. You can't get to us through Alaska. You can't beat the snow. You can't come with the oceans because you didn't have the facilities to do that. There were no airplanes to fly. You couldn't hurt America. And he put us right here for one reason: to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout this fine country and around the world. And we were the leader at doing that for years. Now it's going downhill. London, England. My mother was from 15 miles outside London at Watford. London is now largely Muslim. The churches are empty. Charles Spurgeon, who rocked two nations with the gospel, his church would have 5,000 people at a prayer meeting Wednesday night, and they came in horse and wagon. Now the church where Charles Spurgeon preached is still open. You won't have trouble getting a seat. For on Sunday morning, they'll be lucky to have a crowd of 25 people in London, England. God blessed England because they had the largest missionary force there's ever been. The sun did not set on English property, if you remember the old saying. And they took the gospel to those places, and they prospered, and God blessed them. Today, a Muslim has just been elected mayor of London, England. Are you kidding me? Folks, it's over. Do what you can. Pray where you can. Witness to whoever you can. Thank you for coming to church. If you'll support us, we'll keep preaching the word. Somebody said, isn't it about time for you to retire? And I said, other than with illness, preachers don't retire, son. We die doing what we do. This is a lifetime commitment. And long as I can talk, I'm going to tell you, Jesus still saves. And he still loves you, whether you love him or not. But you better get ready, because it's about over. That's bad news to those who are lost and good news to those who are found. Don't have a good name for our church. And I hope you're found. And if you're not, get found today. Lost isn't fun. It's been mislabeled. It's very, very painful. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is that you'd give us a place to preach. Who in the world would think that we could send the gospel around the world from a bar? As your servant Ken Smith came, he said, this is the way church ought to be. And he goes to them around the country year after year preaching. This is the way it ought to be. People get together and sing the songs of Zion and smile when you mention the name of Jesus and know that they're found and know they aren't lost anymore. And they're going to hear the gospel if they come here. This is the way church ought to be. I loved him when he said that. And I love you that you gave us this place that we could spread the word and that we could win people to you. Thank you, my Savior, my Lord, my King. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner.
Sinner.